You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up on the show today, we have Green Party co-leader James Shaw. Are you there, James?
I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah.
That's good. So I guess the first thing we're going to talk about today is the PACER Plus agreement. So the Green Party says that the government isn't going far enough in helping developing Pacific nations in this agreement made on Thursday after 8 years of negotiations. What does the party mean by this?
Well, this is a regional trade deal, including Australia, New Zealand, and many of the island states in the Pacific. And when it started out, it looked like it was going to go in a different direction from most other trade agreements and be very focused on, you know, how we can use trade in order to help to develop the economies and improve the conditions of the Pacific. But in the end, it looks like that Australia and New Zealand have basically decided to kind of play it to their own advantage, to the point that Fiji and Papua New Guinea, two of the biggest economies in the Pacific outside of Australia and New Zealand, have actually walked away from the deal.
And what do you think this means for New Zealand's relationship with Fiji and Papua New Guinea?
Well, I imagine that, there'll be some noses out of joint as a result of this. I mean, we've obviously got good relationships with those countries, and they'll try to maintain them. But I think most importantly, that Australia and New Zealand need to kind of reflect a little and say, look, you know, could we not have, lived up to the promise of the PACER Plus agreement in the first place, and really focused on what we can do to develop our smaller neighbours.
And it does include, though, a $55 million development package for the Pacific members. What would the Green Party see instead then?
Well, I mean, the thing is that is actually a tiny amount of the overall trade budget. A lot of that money actually ends up going back to, New Zealand and Australian firms that are involved in, of the work there. And then the question is really, what happens on the other side? So sort of promising small amounts of aid money on one hand whilst stripping Pacific governments of their right to support local businesses and regulate in their own people's best interests, that isn't a balance that we're terribly happy with.
Right, and then moving on to the next topic, do you see this new pay equity bill, do you see that as a victory?
Well, I mean, obviously we're absolutely delighted that, caregivers have been, given what they deserve and a very substantial pay increase. I think what we're really worried about is that the bill that the government has introduced alongside of that settlement looks like it's putting more barriers in the way of women who are seeking to be paid fairly. And it essentially scraps the Equal Pay Act and also overturns, in effect, the original Terranova court ruling. So it does make it very difficult, for further progress to be made.
What kind of barriers do you mean there?
Well, essentially what it does is it says that, it'll be harder for women to make the case for gendered underpayment of work because it essentially denies other women the same access to justice that Christine Bartlett did. And we think that is a profound breach of trust. So what they're basically trying to do is to say, yeah, okay, we got it wrong, when it comes to the aged care workers, we're going to, settle that. But at the same time, we're going to close the door to any further progress for other industries where there's been the same kind of discrimination.
Right. And so what would the Green Party see instead of this bill?
Well, I mean, we'd want to reinforce the Equal Pay Act and uphold the original Terranova court ruling. And what that means is that we would, be open to going through, affected industries which are low paid because they're, for the most part, performed by women. And to say, well, that's not right. We have to redress that and fix those up the same way that they have with the care workers.
And just finally, Prime Minister Bill English this morning confirmed the meeting of Five Eyes this week in Arrowtown. What kind of things do you expect to come out of this meeting?
I don't know. And frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies. Because with Trump in charge of the White House, we just don't know how the intelligence that is being gathered is being used. We've always been very sceptical about the Five Eyes agreement in the first place, but I think given the current Trump administration and its extremely, shall we say, lax attitude towards human rights, torture, foreign affairs, and so on. I'd be very worried about any kind of extension of of that arrangement.
And with tensions escalating between the US and North Korea, and North Korea even threatening Australia this past weekend, where do you think that New Zealand sits in those international relations, considering our relationship with the US as well?
Well, it's obviously a very volatile and very dangerous situation, right? So, New Zealand has, for the most part, stood with a group of countries that are, for peaceable conflict resolution. And I think that, first of all, the United States needs to, and we should say this to the Americans, but they need to dial down the rhetoric and focus more on what is actually going to fix the problem rather than kind of banging the drums of war, because that just seems to inflame the situation further, and we just need to manage the situation extremely carefully.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, James. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.